fourth hour, hashtag fastest 4 hours in radio is upon you, upon us. Blessed to bring it to you courtesy of All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. Teresa Walker of the AP will join us in the next segment. Inc. at the end for midweek motivation. Whew. Might just turn on, just turn off our mics going into the last segment, honestly, with everything going on in the world. As we said, look, there's nothing we can say, but hopefully what we can do for 4 hours and what we can do following us, what everybody can do on the radio station, is give you something else
escape
to try to think about. And for us, that means we're talking sports and heights. I've already got tomorrow's 10 put together, so we're good to go.
I'm dating them too. We'll do
I just want to know what happens. Like maybe you do a deal like it's like a free sub after you've visited 10 times. Like if you get 10 wins, something happens for one of you.
Well, five.
The way this show goes, if you have 10 losses, something happens to you.
Yeah. Whoever wins the week gets something.
There you go.
Yeah.
There it is.
I'm tallying. Daily.
All right.
Tallywhacker.
Weed whacker.
You guys good, or we going to keep down this one?
Shafe went dark on me with this one today. I'm almost scared to look at Shafe right now.
I'm not
now.
Dark. You're dark.
I am dark, but I also got peeling forearms because I got sunburnt this week.
Reptilish.
I am reptilish right now. Like I covered up everywhere. I was like, ugh, let me lay out in the sun at the baseball park. I intentionally did it like, you know, here we go. Let me get a little tan going on. I am peeling right now. I was telling Shafe one day, I did my 23andMe, my ancestry, you know, all that type of stuff. What did I tell you? What percentage was I was Irish and English?
I don't know. You were at least 30% pettyish.
You were 80% reptilish and 20% suckish.
I had like 17% like Irish and English, I think, somehow. That's the majority of my other side. Nigerian West Coast Africa is where most of us at.
I know we didn't mention. You see Justin Thomas, what he said about Jimbo.
No, I didn't see what Justin Thomas said.
For real, I'll be real reptilish.
There it is.
I am.
Somebody asked him on SiriusXM if he had a 24-hour celebration rule, which is Saban's rule or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a 24-hour rule. I'm not sure what Jimbo Fisher's rule is, but I guess he's got to win something first before he figures out his rules.
Oh. He did beat Alabama last year. He got that, and he got a natty at Florida State. So he's in the park. You can't say he's not. He's there. I feel him for being petty like that, and, of course, we appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, it fits the bill.
Yeah, it fits the bill.
Speaking of bills, paying NFL players.
Ooh-wee.
So this piece at NFL.com, all paid team of tomorrow, players poised to cash in. Lamar Jackson.
45.
45 plus projected average per year.
Ooh.
After that, Russell Wilson, Kyler. Then you've got Herbert and Burrow at some point in the next couple of years. Becoming the situation. Jonathan Taylor, interesting, certainly the AFC South. Projected APY of 15 plus free agent after the 23 season.
For what position again, say that?
Running back.
Running back.
Jonathan Taylor.
15?
15 plus.
It's always, at that position, it's one like every 5 years. That'll like push the market back up and then it'll trickle back down. So Jonathan Taylor, worth it, Jay?
Yeah, I mean, he's... Yeah. At the risk of upsetting people, he's arguably the best back in the NFL.
You said the risk of.
I'm just saying, and that's why I said arguably.
People. I know.
But he's 25, hadn't dealt with injuries, and is a little bit more versatile.
Yeah, for sure. I'll give you that.
Derrick Henry's on the radar along with Saquon Barkley, and it says King Henry has 2 years remaining on his current deal. Although he's coming off a foot injury, he's yet to show significant signs of decline between the lines. Titans could give Henry a short-term deal to both lessen his current cap figure and reward the bell cow for his work.
Yeah.
That last part, they can throw that part out.
What?
Business isn't about rewarding what they've already done.
Trash.
It can't be. Yeah. It can be in baseball. Yeah. You don't pay somebody in baseball for their work, you can, because there's no salary cap.
That's just words on
you
the
pay
paper.
Pay whatever you want. Me. Yeah, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
That's not how that works.
No. No, baby.
Wide receiver Debo. Projected APY, 27 plus million. Because now the floor is AJ's 25.
25.
And Tory knows what he's doing.
Yeah, but and also is this too. The healing of this back and forth they've had is kind of broken down a little bit. He was at the picture at the game taking pictures with Steph when they play Sunday or Monday. Yeah, so all is well right now with Debo, I feel like, in this contract.
Yeah, he's kind of pulled back.
Yep.
Other guys that'll be talked about soon, Cooper Kupp, DK, Terry McLaurin. Those are the other names that were associated. Kupp wasn't, but Metcalf, McLaurin, and Debo were the others looped in with AJ.
So will DK honestly get the short end of the stick with this one?
He might.
Okay. And that ain't even the short end of the stick, Jay, just being real.
I mean, they don't have a quarterback at all.
Yeah.
I mean, again, they're saying Geno is QB1 right now.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tight end, Darren Waller.
Obviously.
15-plus million is his APY. That seems rather relatively cheap, considering what he can do for you.
I know. A dual threat. And what's crazy, what doesn't help him out is Gesicki. He couldn't get out of the label of tight end when he went to arbitration. He could not get out of it. And that's why Darren Waller's projection is 15-plus.
There's three franchise tag tight ends, Njoku, Schultz, and Gesicki. To your point.
Yep.
Hockenson is another guy that that's going to be getting paid soon. He's probably a top five tight end in the league.
Yeah,
he just happens to be in Detroit. Dawson Knox.
See him.
If he has another good year, he definitely had a breakout year last year.
Speaking of that.
Local product.
With the Bills, though, are they pretty much L.A. North with the way this roster and the guys they got to go pay and keep and sustain?
Again, they already paid their quarterback. But they know what they've got at that position.
Yeah.
And so do other free agents.
Yep.
Like, you're competing for a chip if you go to Buffalo. Noah Fant getting paid at some point soon.
Yeah.
And then Kyle Pitts way down the road because he's just into his second year. Offensive tackle, Orlando Brown, 24-plus million.
Yeah. They franchised him. Shout out to him, too, for having the power to switch positions and get that trade because they were trying to make him a right tackle. And right tackle, left tackle money is a little bit different. Although right tackle bread is pushed up a little bit. Shout out to Conklin. It ain't 24-plus, you know, so.
We talked about this last week, but Q and Indy, Quentin Nelson, 20-plus million as a guard. Yeah. And the first sentence is right. Nelson is the nastiest offensive lineman this side of Trent Williams.
Yep.
And Brandon Scherff just got paid $16.5 million in Jacksonville.
And Scherff ain't close to him.
No.
Okay. Respectfully.
Only other person you might name would be like Zach Martin.
It's cool to say this too. And we jumped on the table for this guy last year draft time, J.S. Who from UT.
Oh, Trey. Yeah.
Notable players not eligible for an extension. Trey's already
Creed
on the
block. Humphrey, who's another second-year player, and Trey Smith.
Yep.
And Elijah Vera Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
Interior lineman Aaron Donald, projected APY, 30-plus million.
Money.
You see the second sentence, though, or the after the semicolon? He's the only member of this, air quotation marks, team who's already on the 2022 all-paid team. He's already set the bar.
You see the first sentence that's written in the third paragraph?
No.
It could be a generational bias, but I feel it's time to bestow Donald the title of greatest defensive player in the annals of league history. Donald, J.J. Watt, and LT are the only players in NFL history to win three Defensive Player of the Year awards. Odds are Donald will become the first to ever win a fourth. People are now saying it's about time to say he might be the best defensive player of all time. And that's just to say anybody other than LT showcases how great Aaron Donald really is, that you can have the discussion and people aren't angry at you anymore.
Yeah, he's up there, but it's always going to be some historian that pushes and say, no, we got to look at the Minister of Defense. I'm in that conversation too. Of course, if you're in that house, it's almost like the commercial Heisman house, then you're in the elite company, period. But Donald...
Jeff Simmons is the second guy I mentioned. Simmons has done nothing but wreak havoc in backfield since he stepped onto the field. Disruption bloomed into 8.5 sacks, 12 TFLs, 14 quarterback hits in 2021, earning him the first of what should be many Pro Bowl selections. Simmons is arguably the second best interior defensive lineman in the NFL behind Donald, which means that's a cash machine right there, by the way.
Beep!
Yeah.
Count it up some more.
All the women are just wearing bras.
Take all of them.
You know what I'm talking about.
No,
Lee.
It's just underwear and masks.
Let's just,
'cause you were counting drug money.
It's American Gangster.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man.
It's American. Hey.
You know what happened? I wasn't paying attention for 2 minutes. Then I heard that. Now I have no context as to what just happened.
Nothing. Just saying. Count all the money. Nobody leaves a room with a single dime.
I get it.
Okay. We're shoeless, shirtless, and just.
You ain't stealing.
Leave all the money for Jeffrey Simmons, is what we're saying. It's his and nobody else's. If he's number two, this is what the article said. He's the second best interior defensive lineman behind Donald. Put that into perspective.
I know.
Play with Jeff if you want to.
And then quickly, with Teresa on the other side, Nick Bosa, edge rusher, $28.5 million. Joey Bosa was the highest paid defensive player in 2020. Then TJ Watt got it. Now Nick Bosa takes it over. I remember being at that draft, sitting next to you, Shave. Kyler comes in and talks, and Nick Bosa comes in and talks, and there was some controversy surrounding Nick Bosa at the time.
Yep.
You want to redraft that thing?
Good point.
I mean, it's not like Kyler has been a scrub or anything, but Nick Bosa's better at what he does, Kyler, I think, than Kyler is at what he does right now.
Has decided to say with 2 years left on his deal that he ain't going to play.
You speak about not showing up for OTAs.
Kyler.
Come on.
I'm usually with you here.
You are out pushing players, that leverage a little bit.
You, as we like to say, you're kind of showing you a little
unless
bit.
Unless you're going to get Torrey Dandy as your agent.
Yeah.
He don't mess with quarterbacks.
Nah, I don't mess with quarterbacks.
Teresa Walker on the other side. We'll talk to her about OTAs, what Tannehill had to say yesterday, which we all agree was great stuff from Tannehill, and a lot more. It's J. Martin and Mo, 104.5 The Zone.
Searching HVAC near here.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Wow. Nobody local? Huh.
Wait, what? We are an HVAC company literally in your neighborhood. Why is she not seeing us?
Just all the big chains. Well, it is what it is.
What in the... Can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local HVAC providers. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
So usually we would play Queen coming in here because we have the Queen on, but Teresa raised a ruckus by playing this on her way back from, what was it, Memphis?
I think it was coming back on vacation.
Oh, she was coming back from vacation, driving back, listening to this song. First off, just Teresa Walker listening to this song. I can imagine this did trend.
People got excited.
So now we're going to use that. What if there was a head bob?
Oh, yeah. Of course there was a head
bob. Let's not act like she's not Memphis, okay? If you know what I mean,
she UT.
Yeah.
But she got some Memphis.
She West Tennessee, Memphis around here.
So she's
too.
Texas?
Oh, no. Boy.
No, Jay.
Wow.
Uh-oh. No, baby.
No, baby.
To our Spain Real Estate Hotline, the aforementioned Teresa Walker, the Associated Press, is on the line. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I know most of the words of that song, I'll just say.
Drop some bars. Drop some bars for us, Teresa.
Oh, I have to kind of get into the mood a little bit. Hit him with an uppercut. Hit him with a J. I need a little bit more caffeine.
Get yourself a Celsius. Ryan Tannehill's probably got some for you. So Tannehill's comments yesterday, what did you think of what he had to say? We kind of thought he pretty much knocked it out of the park in terms of what you would want to hear in terms of just kind of diffusing an overrated situation.
Well, absolutely. I mean, he came out and he kind of filibustered. I quit shooting video after like 2 minutes because I wasn't sure if I'd be able to get all of that to tweet out. But, I think he went for nearly 3 minutes on one answer. So, he came out and tried to, just make clear. And the thing that, here's the thing. Words mean different things to different people. And he said that he reserves the use of mentor for just a few people in his life, that it's a special relationship. And, other people the people who got upset were the ones who were like, oh my gosh, he's not going to talk to him. He's not going to teach him. He's not going to be a teammate to him. And it's like, no, that's not what was said. But people, it's the quiet time of the year, guys, and people like to take it that way. You know, it's easy to get upset and, take umbrage at almost any little thing that is said this time of the year. So, but, I'll just say this. He made it very clear. And, and he even said that people who know me are going to understand exactly what I meant. And I guess I'm one of those people because I didn't write about it. The mentor comment the day he said it, because I was more taken with the fact that a starting NFL quarterback talked about the fact he needed therapy to deal with a tough, tough loss that had him sleepless and going over every second of that loss, especially in the light of, there's been a lot of college athletes over the last few months who, taken their own lives. So it's like a starting NFL quarterback saying it's okay to go get therapy and help yourself through this. That was my takeaway from it. Mm-hmm. But social media, 24/7 media, it did what it did. And, they took that phrase and they jumped on it. I'm hoping that the pin has been stuck in it for good because, mm-hmm. It's like, do we need to keep beating this dead horse?
So when we opened up the show this morning, we started talking about his comments and, how we agree with him and finally saying something and hearing him out. Teresa, the response to that was still like the not in the boat with Ryan Tannehill for the most part. And just the idea, Shafe had the quote earlier that somebody tweeted at us that said, look, we don't want an apology. We want some daggone wins in the playoffs. Like, how
you need to add a little context.
Go ahead.
Says, we're not owed an apology. We're owed playoff wins.
Where do you sit as far as that this upcoming season?
Well, Ramon, we both know that there's those people, those fans are not going to be satisfied until there is a win on the field at Nissan Stadium in the postseason. I mean, it won't matter if he goes out and throws, 35 touchdown passes this year, only 7 interceptions, and leads him to another 12 wins. It's all going to come down for a certain segment of fans to what do you do when the games matter the most, when the games are tough. I mean, just look at, most recently, a week ago, we were upset with the Predators, or 2 weeks ago. I'm losing track of time now, but, they got swept. Well, the President's Cup, the President's Trophy winners got swept. Golden State was on the verge of sweeping out the Dallas Mavericks, so they stood up and said, whoa, last night. I mean, it's the postseason. It's tough at this stage. If you're in the postseason for any sport, it gets tough, and you can have that moment where on any given day somebody makes a play and pulls things out of the out of the lost column and puts it in the win column. I mean, everyone thought Cincinnati should have been a big win, but it didn't turn out that way. And the interception with 20 seconds to go is going to be something that hangs around Ryan Tannehill's neck until he gets a chance to do something else, do something better, and change that narrative. That's just the way it is.
So what have you seen so far, and what are you most interested to watch during this time frame?
Well, I'm watching yesterday I spent my time watching Tannehill and the receivers because, let's face it, they were 24th in passing yards last year, 201 yards. They were a 12-win team. They were one of the top rushing teams without Derrick Henry for 9 games in the season, and yet – besides getting Julio Jones and bringing in Josh Reynolds, they never really addressed the tight end or wide receiver group. And I know I say that, they did go get Julio Jones, but mm-hmm. we now know what that ended up being, which wasn't much. They've done so much more to try to give their quarterback, the guy who has taken so much, attack and pressure as the scapegoat for last season, more help. And watching Austin Hooper catch passes, guys, they've already made a massive upgrade at tight end over last year, okay? No offense to Anthony Firkser or Jeff Swaim, who's still on the roster. Austin Hooper is going to be a favorite target for Ryan Tannehill this year. Chigga Kwankwo, the tight end who had the fastest 40 time at the combine, he has a little flash. I'm curious to see what all they want to do with him. And then Robert Woods, guys, I was curious to see would he be available for the start of the season training camp. He was on the field for the first week of OTAs. That is huge for this offense, huge for Ryan Tannehill, huge for Robert Woods, building that chemistry between these two. And because why? It's easier to listen to a veteran telling you things to do when you actually see him on the field rather than just, in the training room recovering from an injury and things like that. So, Treylon Burks, I know we all want to see a little bit more from him, but – you know, whatever, whether it's conditioning or, you know, allergies, whatever he's, you know, working through, he is still on the field as well. So he's got all these people to build his chemistry with, build his timing with. And I at this point, I don't know how the passing offense doesn't get better. And if that gets better, that's going to make things easier for the running backs too, including some guy named Derrick Henry. So that's got my attention this week. I'll watch defense next week.
That's why I was going to ask. So it's, you know, with the newness of this offense with the wide receivers, departure of AJ, though, when you do get the opportunity to watch them, like, is there pressure on them to perform at the level that they did last year? And I know pressure is all a part of the game, but they set the bar really, really high last year going into 2021.
Well, they absolutely did. But, you know, here's the thing, talking about, you know, trying to replace AJ there, Ramon, you know, the next closest guy in targets was Nick Westbrook-Akina, and he had fewer targets than A.J. Brown had catches. So, you know, there it just feels like there's going to be more opportunity for all of these guys. And, oh, by the way, Nick Westbrook-Akina, you know, he's the guy you just can't get rid of because he keeps finding a way. You know, he was making several nice touchdown catches yesterday, and you know, he's a guy who just, when it's thrown to him, he makes a catch out of it, which is pretty impressive for a guy who, let's not forget, undrafted out of Indiana, and he's now going into his third season. So, you know, for all the talk about the new additions, you know, he's one of those leftovers who's going to make you throw him the ball at times. So, but yeah, the pressure is on this group to absolutely show that they can deliver. But I just think that they've got so many more options here. I still can't get out of my head that when they played at the New England Patriots, that they had Cody Hollister and Nick Westbrook-Akina starting for them at wide receiver, and they had four of them available. So, you know, the fact that they've got so many more options is just a good thing. And I don't know how that doesn't help Ryan Tannehill, even though he has to build the timing with these guys. I just see this as a positive for an offense that also added a passing game coordinator in Tim Kelly. So, you know, you would think that this whole offense should have a chance to take a big step back toward what they were in 2020 when, let's not forget, they were one of the very best offenses in the NFL.
Right. Teresa Walker, the Associated Press, here with us on J. Martin Ramon this morning. Treylon Burks, the way in which he is being watched, scrutinized very, very closely, obviously. You've been doing this for a very long time. At what point does it become too much to ask of a first-year wide receiver? Because it seems like every breath he takes, whether it's free or into an inhaler, is being watched like it's a Zapruder film.
Well, he is a first-round pick, number 18 overall, so that happens. I remember when it was Chris Johnson or Vince Young. I mean, you know, Javon Kearse. No, it doesn't matter who the first-round pick is. We're going to be watching him because why? They used a first-round pick on him, and the eyes are on him even more because not only is he a first-round pick, they also traded A.J. Brown to get him. So, you know, yes, you know, right or wrong, he's going to be in for an awful lot of scrutiny because that goes with that draft pick position. So, you know, when will it die down? When he stays on the field very consistently and, you know, probably, you know, I hate to say it, once the games start in September, so you can start seeing some production. But even then, we're going to be comparing him to what he did, to, you know, what AJ did, what he's doing, probably at least for this first year.
Vrabes brought home some hardware last year also. It's coach of the year. And warranted, he did his thing with 90-plus guys on the roster and stuff like that. What type of challenges do you think he's going to have to accept this year moving forward in this 2022 season? Because the AFC's gotten a little bit harder, at least on paper, and a guy like himself that conjured up the number one overall seed and brought home that hardware, where do you see him moving in this new season?
Well, I mean, hey, when you've won 12 games and you're the coach of the year, the, you know, in fact, somebody asked him yesterday, you know, what's the chances for a drama-free season? And it's like, come on, it's the NFL. Hello. But, you know, the challenge is this. He's won, he you know, let's face it, division titles, got to an AFC championship game, coach of the year, you know, number one seed. Let's face it, we know what's waiting out there. It's a home field victory, similar to Ryan Tannehill. And then, oh yeah, you were hired to help win championships and, you know, get win an AFC championship, get to the Super Bowl. Those are the boxes that still have to be checked. And, you know, that's where this franchise is. I know that some fans get upset when they see these power rankings. They've got the Titans, you know, anywhere from 15 to 20. And it's like, calm down, people. This is nothing new. This is how it's been for as long as this team has been in this state. And we're coming on season 26 in the state of Tennessee. So what matters is what happens on the field. Nobody picked the Titans to go win 12 games last year, okay? But Mike Vrabel knows exactly what's expected of him. And here's the thing. He wants it more than probably almost anybody outside of that building. So, you know, that's the thing that's driving him, and that's what's driving John Robinson and Amy Adams Strong. They know where they have to get to, and that's the bar. All these other things, coach of the year, this, that, the other, number one seed, it doesn't, you know, it's nice. Thank you very much for the parting gifts, but what we want is a Lombardi trophy, and that's the measure that he will always be marked by. Does he get it?
Is that the biggest success that Vrabel and John Robinson have had that it's no longer good enough, Teresa, simply to get to the playoffs? I mean, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years ago, that would have been, you know, I don't know if you'd celebrate, but you'd be pretty excited as a Titans fan because of the amount of lean years. But at this point, making the playoffs, you almost bake that into the cake and let me see what you can do for me in January.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and that's not me saying it. Trust me, I've had many Titan fans telling me, yeah, the winning seasons are nice. Six straight. Only the Kansas City Chiefs have more in the NFL right now as we speak, right? But six straight winning seasons, it doesn't take long to get a little spoiled and think, you know what? This is fine, but I want more. And that's just where this franchise has put themselves to. I mean, you know, being a continuous, championship contender is how you put yourself in position to win Super Bowls, and that's where the Titans are. So, yeah, they raised the bar themselves.
For sure, Teresa. I wanted to ask you this, too, as far as this season goes. The Colts, we can dismiss them as much as we can, but the idea that they're going to push the Titans this year and they're also getting them early in the season, again, the way the schedule is set up, they have to get off the bus hot this year with the Colts and trying to deal with them and seal up this AFC South.
Oh, isn't it fun how close their two games are with the Colts this season?
Yeah.
There's not going to be much room for missteps. So, you know, and this team, it has an awful lot of games on the road early. So, you know, the Titans don't have any room for a slow start. And it's going to be very, very interesting to see because, you know, I mean, they get it yet another. I mean, the Chargers schedule video meme was just absolutely perfect. Why? How did they sum up the Colts? With a carousel of quarterbacks, because every year they've changed quarterbacks, like the GM apparently changes his socks, and suddenly they're the favorite in the AFC South. Well, Matt Ryan is a strong veteran, and, you know, we'll see if the Colts can actually protect this quarterback any better than they did the last couple. But, you know, yeah, I mean, everybody likes the new guy and wants to see what he can do, and we're just going to have to see. And that's what the Titans, they're the two-time defending division champs. What are they going to do? What are they going to be able to handle here as they, you know, as they try to move forward and hold on to their crown?
On the idea also of protecting the quarterback, the Titans could potentially have two new starters at right tackle and left guard. How comfortable are you with them, as we saw images of Taylor Lewan helping out Nicholas Petit-Frere yesterday?
Well, definitely love that. And, you know, and then Taylor made it very clear. He feels so much better than he did at any point last year. That gives him more time to help the rookie Petit-Frere, because, you know, when you're recovering from an ACL, you're usually busy getting treatment, and, you know, you're not spending extra time out on the field. Why? Because you have to head to the training room and get ice and stim and all those kind of things and do extra rehab work. So, you know, him being healthy off his ACL gives him that time to work with the rookie, a kid that, you know, let's face it, with the situation and the names that have gone off of this offensive line in the last year or two, they're going to need this kid sooner or later, right? We saw Dylan Raidens make a start in a prime time game with just a few hours notice last year. So that's the NFL. They're going to need him, and that's why it's so great to see, you know, a vet like Lewan, who, let's face it, Petit-Frere could end up getting his job. You know, Taylor Lewan made it very clear. He doesn't have any guaranteed money in his contract at this point, right? And he's got 2 years or so left. And, you know, so if Petit-Frere is really good, you know, that could give the Titans, we need to save some money. But by Taylor, he knows that, but he's out there still helping him get right. Why? Because he could help him win games quickly this year.
Good stuff, Teresa. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Absolutely, guys, and that's another one.
Next time, caffeinate yourself. We want a couple verses.
Back.
A couple verses.
Yeah. Whew. What a good time, man.
It is. When we come back, I think we could all use some ink.
Ooh, I thought that was appropriate.
Okay.
Come on, man.
I'm glad we're nearing the end of the program.
It's flown by today.
Tinky Johnson, a midweek motivation after the events of the week. Maybe more important than we've ever had with ink. It's next. J. Martin and Mo, 104.5 The Zone. J. Martin and Ramon, 104.5 His Own. Schaaf wins 8-2 in the Heights game for Wednesday. We go back in the Heights tomorrow. I have my list already set for you two.
So then, moving forward, when we compile it at the end of the week, are we going by days won or total wins?
Days won.
All right.
It's like sets in tennis.
So we don't go aggregate like in soccer, huh?
I don't know what rules are in soccer.
Well, no, but like, you know what? I'm not even going to go down that road. Because no, we're not even doing
football
this.
Football is life.
Well, barbecue sauce.
Barbecue sauce.
So, obviously, yesterday sucked. There's nothing else to say.
Right.
A lot of you are feeling it today. We'll say again, just hug your kids, hug your significant others, hug your families. Realize how blessed you are. Make sure your foundation's in something real. That can't be shaken. And try to find something that you enjoy today. Find something that's happy. There's some things we could have talked about in the world of sports today that we chose not to.
Yeah.
There'll be other time for that. Today wasn't the day for that. We want to thank Teresa Walker. We want to thank Brad Crawford. Thank Eric Kane. Thank everybody that has contributed today as well. It's just a tough day.
Mm-hmm.
There's really nothing else to say other than that. But we had 4 hours of a radio show. Tonight, game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals. We'll look into that certainly tomorrow. Maybe we'll talk about a couple of things tomorrow that we did not get to today, either by choice or by lack of time, all of those things. We're going to bring Inky Johnson in right now. He knows the circumstances of the world, and he's the voice that I think everybody wants to hear. So we welcome in Inky Johnson for our midweek motivation. Ink, it's a tough day around this country, no question about it. I have no idea what you're set to say to us this morning. I just feel like we need to hear it.
My guys, man, I think you hit the nail on the head, man. It's a tough time in our country, man, just to understand and fathom, you know, some of the things that's transpired. And I got a message, man, and I want to be brief, you know, just out of respect for what is going on in the country. But, you know, a lot of times when we encounter things in life, whether it be extreme trauma, whether it be extreme adversity and opposition, whether it be things that, you know, bring a level of uncertainty to our lives, it's hard to understand and it's hard to fathom, right? It seems as if it's surreal. You almost don't believe it, right, when you first hear it or you first encounter it. And one of the things that I always share with people, don't try to understand it right away, because some things is so strong and it's so heavy that we're not going to understand it, right? Some things, as soon as it happens and you want to fathom and understand, like, man, why did this happen? Right? Why do people have to encounter things like this? Why do people have to go through things like this? Don't try to understand it, right? Just survive the moment, right? Whatever surviving the moment looks like, right? Survive it. Don't try to understand it. Survive it. And through the hopes of surviving it, that it will bring us peace, that it will bring us a certain level, but my life is tough. People about, man, every single day you get up, try to bring joy to the world. Try to bring happiness to the world, right? Every single day you go into your workplace, try to add value to the environment. Every single day you got your family, man, try to appreciate your family. Try to appreciate your coworkers. We say these words every single day, but
but we don't always take it to heart, right? Because we take this thing called life for granted. We take people for granted. And as people, sometimes we're so arrogant, right? We don't always appreciate our blessings. And I say to people all the time, one of the most underrated blessings in life is when we leave our homes in the morning, just living with the assumption that we'll always make it back to our family members, that we'll always make it back to our friends. And so if I could leave us all with the word, appreciate every aspect of life, appreciate everything we're connected to, and everything we're privileged to do. And when you encounter something that's so tough that you don't understand and you can't fathom it, don't try to understand it. Just survive it. And through surviving it, with the hopes that it'll bring us peace, it'll bring us perspective, and on the other side of it, it'll bring some level of blessings. God bless you guys. Go out, bring joy to the world, man. It's needed.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.